Let's read God's word together. If you've got a Bible with you, we're reading in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. And it says this: seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I'll read verse 16 again. It's really that I want to focus on this morning. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you read a verse from the Bible, it's good to understand who it was originally been written to. And we can take this for ourselves this morning, and we'll do that shortly. But this was written to a group of people who had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were people that had formerly been of the Jewish religion, and they'd been steeped in rituals and in regulations and in outward appearance and, you know, dress the right way, speak the right way, go to the right places, don't do this, don't do that. And this was the way that they were operating. But they had believed that Jesus Christ was God who came into this world in flesh and who went to the cross to die for sin, to suffer for our sins, and who died and then rose again from the dead. And through believing in him, like me, their lives were changed. But, you know, you don't have to be a Christian for very long before you hit difficult times. I'm very conscious that we'll have a mixed audience here today, and there was a mixed audience here as well. They were mostly people that had believed in Jesus, but there were some that maybe hadn't yet. And that's very often the case in a room with many people like this, that there's some that maybe haven't yet trusted. And there were others that were saved, they had believed, but, you know, they were finding the way very, very difficult because they were being criticised from the people round about them. You know, even their family. You know, you've abandoned us. You've forsaken our traditions. You know, we brought you up to be this, and our grandparents were this, and now you've thrown it all back in our face, and you're going to an evangelical church. You're going and you're believing in Jesus, and they would be made fun of, they would be persecuted. And as a result of that, they were finding it hard. Outward opposition. Inward opposition too. Some of them, you know, like me, they would make mistakes. They would do things that they would hope that they would never have done. They would do things that were not right. And those mistakes would bring them down, and they would find it hard. And this letter's written to them to encourage them. And that's what we want to do to you this morning from God's word, is to encourage you, particularly at the beginning of a busy week like this. And the letter is written with that context. And he says there in verse 16, let us therefore come. Whenever you see the word therefore in your Bible, it's good to read the verses that have come just before it, because therefore is a linking word and it's drawing information, a conclusion based on what has been said above. And it tells us that we have a great high priest in verse 14. Now, this isn't a priest like what you would picture in your mind with, you know, the dog collars and rosary beads or whatever else. And I'll be quite honest with you, and I'm not throwing stones at other religions, but just religion in general. I hate it. I don't like religion. I'm not a religious person. And sometimes I'll tell somebody about how they can have their sins forgiven. They say, no, I'm not religious. Well, neither am I. And I've no time for religion. I've got time for a relationship with God. And that is all. But the problem is that we do need a great high priest. We need somebody to go into God's presence on our behalf, because we ourselves are separated from God's presence because of our sin. And you can go back into the Old Testament and you can look at Adam and Eve, and they were in God's presence. And there was no mediator needed, there was no go-between, there was no priest, because they were sinless when they were created. But like you, like me, they chose to do what their conscience told them not to do. They chose to do what God had commanded them not to do. And for them it was to take something that they shouldn't have done. For you and for me it could be telling a lie, it can be taking something, it can be lust, it can be adultery, it can be any number of things, coveting that which isn't ours, not honouring parents, and the list goes on and on, or even not doing things that we should do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. And what one of us has always done that? All have sinned. You and I. And we're separated from God. And there were priests in the Old Testament and high priests. And the high priest, on behalf of the people, once a year, could enter into God's presence. As a representative of the people, just a man, a normal man, but he was given this priestly outfit, this garment, these garments, and he could enter in on behalf of the people to represent them in God's presence once a year. I just want to make the application that if you're here today and you have not yet trusted in Jesus Christ as your Saviour, by that I mean you've not yet come to a time in your life, a day in your life, a moment in your life where you've spoken to God, and in the realization that you're separated from Him because of your sin, and then placed your faith in Jesus Christ, believing with all your heart, totally convinced that He died for your sins. He paid the price for your sins so that you could be brought back into relationship with God. If you've not done that, you're separated from God this morning. And your life might look great. And I can't see anybody here that and say you're not a Christian, or there's no such thing as somebody that looks like a Christian and somebody that doesn't. I don't know. But God knows. The people beside you don't know. But God knows. And you don't just be born into Christianity. You don't slide into Christianity. It's not something that happens gradually. It happens by making a definite and deliberate decision to forsake sin and to believe in Jesus Christ. If you've not done that this morning, then you're not yet forgiven of your sins. You're not yet ready for heaven. You're not yet accepted in God's presence. But He wants you to be, and you can be so today. And He says we have not a priest. And He says we don't have a high priest. He says we have a great high priest. And He is indeed great. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is God's eternal Son, who became a baby in the manger, who was born as a baby and who became a man, and who lived sinlessly, who lived a perfect life, a life that was not like ours in that sense. He didn't sin. But you know, a life like ours in that he was just a normal man who was hungry and tired and thirsty and all of these different things. And He says, we have Him. He's continually in our possession. He's continually there. And this great high priest is indeed great. And we can think about the Lord Jesus and His greatness. You know, there was no half measures with the Lord Jesus. He came to a wedding and He turned the water into wine. It wasn't good wine. You know, it wasn't the type of wine that you'd get at the supermarket. It wasn't middle of the range stuff. When He turned water into wine, they told Him it was the best wine. He gave them the best. When the multitudes were hungry, He didn't just give them enough to just, you know, take a little bit of the hunger away. He gave them enough that they were filled, that they were satisfied. When He comes to a woman that's thirsty and she's trying to get water just to quench her thirst for a few hours, He says, you know, if you come to Me, I'll give you living water and you'll never thirst again. And that's what He's like. He's great. He wants to give you the best. Jesus, our great high priest. And it tells us that He is Jesus, the Son of God. That He's passed through the heavens, that He died, that He rose again, that He ascended and went to heaven on our behalf to represent us. And He says His name is Jesus, the Son of God. And when we think about Jesus, we think about His humanity, that He was that man that got up and went to work like many of you will do tomorrow morning, who had to work hard to get food to survive, that one who became tired after a journey. But as the Son of God, we would think of the fact that He was God, perfectly man and yet perfectly God. He could be sleeping in the back of a boat because He was tired, but then He could waken up and He could speak to the wind and rebuke the waves and they would obey Him. He was that one who was so thirsty He needed to sit at a well and ask for a drink, but He could also tell the woman all the things that she had ever done. He was the one that would stand at a tomb and, like you and I, He would weep at the loss of a friend. But as God, he could say, Lazarus, come forth, and he had that power. And he says, this Jesus, the Son of God, he has passed through the heavens. And because of that, we have to hold on to our faith, to hold on to our confession. And maybe some of you, I don't know, but maybe some of you are finding the way hard and you just feel like giving up. I went over to Northern Ireland yesterday to spend a day with a young man that's just on the brink of giving up. The way is difficult, the way is hard, and just wants to pack it all in and to just go and to do what he pleases. And my prayer for you today, if there's anybody here that's like that, is that you'll not let go. Because God won't let go of you. And the reason that we can be motivated and encouraged to keep on going is because we're not doing it in our own strength. Jesus, the Son of God, our great high priest, has entered into heaven on our behalf. Verse 15, he says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. We've got a high priest in heaven who's not an angel. That would be good, but not good enough. We've got a high priest in heaven who is a man. When he ascended to heaven, he ascended in a body. And when we see him in heaven, he's there with flesh and blood. He's there with a body that is scarred from what happened to him on the cross as he suffered for our sins. And you know, because he's a man, he can sympathize and relate to what you're going through. Some of you maybe are lonely in your life, and he knew what it was to be lonely. Some of you have lost loved ones, and you suffer as a result of that. He knew what it was to lose loved ones, and he understands what you're going through. Some of you know the pressures of employment, and he knows all about the pressures of employment. Some of you have been made false accusations against and slandered and brought down, and these things happened to Jesus. And he's in heaven, and he's representing you in the very throne room of God right now. Even as we sit here, he knows you, he loves you, and he's in the presence of his Father representing you. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And there's the important difference. And this is why he's our great high priest. He's the one that can represent us to God, and he's the one that can represent God to us, because he is God. But he can do it because he never sinned. The only man that's lived in this world and never sinned. That's him. And he is the perfect mediator, the perfect great high priest. And then we come to our verse 16. Because of this, because of all of that we've just learned in verses 14 and 15, he says, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace. And you know, we've sung it in our hymns. Come, now is the time to worship. To come. It's a command. He doesn't say, if you feel like it, when it suits you, you know, when you're in desperate circumstances, then come and pray. And you know, when the going gets tough and you've ignored me for 6 months, well, then you can come. It's the command is to come continually. It's in the present tense. Come. Keep on coming. Keep on coming, and don't stop coming to the throne of grace. The Lord Jesus spoke earlier on in Matthew's Gospel when he was in the world, and he said to them, he said, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, in Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. And if you've not trusted Christ this morning, that's the command that you need to obey first. We can't come to God's throne of grace in prayer, asking him to, you know, help us with our problems, asking us to help us to overcome our difficulties and to be with us through the day, if we've not come to him and asked him to deal with our sin. And when he says, come unto me, all you that are weary and burdened, it's all you that are weary and burdened because of your sin. He says, come to me. He says, him that comes to me, or she that comes to me, I'll not turn them away, I'll not send them away. And maybe you've done things that you're ashamed of and you wonder if he would take you. I can assure you on the authority of the word of God, he will take you. He's not a liar, and he's promised that he'll accept you if you come. There's no one that he would turn away. From the cleanest living person to the most foul living person, if they will confess their sin, acknowledge in the sight of a holy God that they're a sinner, acknowledge that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to the cross willingly and voluntarily. They are not to just suffer at the hands of men, but they are to suffer at the hands of God the Father. And God the Father laid all our iniquities, all of our sins upon his Son. And on the cross, the Lord Jesus was forsaken and abandoned and consumed by our sins. He paid the price of our sin. And he died, because the wages of sin is death. But he rose from the dead the third day, and he's now a living and victorious Saviour. And he says, if you'll come to me, if you're weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. Eternal rest. But then to those of us that are already saved, here in verse 16 he says, because of all the things that we've learned, come boldly to the throne of grace. Keep coming and don't stop coming. And come boldly. You know, when we come into God's presence, we don't have to come with fear and trembling and not knowing if he's going to hear us and not knowing if we'll be consumed. And you go to the book of Esther and you'll find that. Esther told to go into the presence of the king. She says, if he doesn't invite me, if he doesn't extend his golden scepter towards me, I'll be killed. She entered into that throne with trepidation, but we are told to come boldly to a throne which is far bigger and far higher than this throne that we're thinking about. And we come boldly because he died for us. We don't come boldly because we are good. We don't come boldly because we've earned that right. We come boldly because Jesus saved us by his blood. Our confidence is in him. And he says to come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, a throne speaks to us about authority. It speaks to us about sovereignty and power. And there are many powerful thrones in this world, and we would think of Her Majesty the Queen and the authority that she has as the monarch of this land. And yet this throne is far above that. The one that sits on this throne is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this throne is the source of all power. And this throne is the source of all sovereign knowledge. And this throne is interested in the affairs of your life. You know, the things that you're worrying about, that, you know, they just seem too trivial that you would even tell them to your friends and your family. The man on this throne is interested in all that you're going through. And that thrills me. I think it's wonderful. But you know, there are corrupt thrones in this world with sinful men and women that sit upon them, and all they want to do is to get as much from the people as they can, and they'll kill and they'll do all other types of things to get their own way. And the throne, the people on those thrones can't be trusted. But this one, this is a throne of grace. Perfect authority, but yet perfectly gracious. Get dispensing to us things that we do not deserve, and that's the idea of grace. And all of us need to be recipients of grace. You see, we can't work for God's favour. I hope you know that. I hope that's clear to you this morning. That coming to a place like this, it doesn't bring you one step nearer God's throne. Not one step. You can't depend on church attendance, and you can't depend on doing good works, and you can't depend on you know, just giving it your best shot. All that we can depend upon is the grace of God, that he sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. And this is how God demonstrated his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if we will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be saved. He said, come boldly to this throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy. That we might obtain mercy. This is an active thing. It's not just receiving it. You know, you just sit there and you get it. He says you have to come. Come and get it. If you don't come, you'll not get it. And maybe some of us, we get problems and we get difficulties and we try and fix them in our own strength. And some of you have had sleepless nights this week because you've got anxiety and you've got worries and you've got things building up on you, and you're trying to unravel in your mind how you can deal with these problems and how you can work them out in your own strength and in your own willpower. And we can't. But he says, if you come boldly to the throne of grace, then you will obtain mercy. Mercy is the idea of not getting what we do deserve, and we deserve judgment for our sin. We deserve, and it's not a nice thing to speak about, but the Bible teaches that the eternal destination for those that are not willing to place their faith in Jesus Christ and to repent of their sin, it is the place called hell. And there are consequences for sin. But there's mercy. There's mercy if we'll come to the Lord Jesus. And it's the idea of receiving compassion as well. If you look at the meaning of the word, to receive compassion. And the one that sits upon that throne wants to dispense compassion to you in your need. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and to find grace. to find grace, and we've thought of that already. To find grace, to find what we don't deserve, to be blessed by God in ways that we don't deserve. And that's what he wants to do for you, if you'll come. But you know, this is my favourite bit here. It says, come and you might find grace to help in time of need. To help. Now, the New Testament of our Bible was written in, wasn't written in English, it was written in Greek. And when you translate things, you've got to do your best. But you can go back to the Greek and you can look at the meaning of that specific Greek word. And when you think about help, you would expect to find something, you know, like maybe to reach down and to pick up, or to encourage and help them out of a situation, to take them out of a situation, or to remove difficulties or whatever it is. But this word help, you look it up, it says to undergird a ship. That seems a bit strange. But when you think about it, it's just perfect, it's just right. You know, you could go back to Acts chapter 27 and Paul is on a boat, he's on a ship, and he's passing through a storm, and it says that they put helps around the ship. They put helps around the ship, the same word. They took ropes, and because the ship was about to break up because of the tempest and because of the storm that was beating in against it, they took ropes, and the ropes would go right under the ship again and again and again and again, and it would strengthen the ship. It would bind it together, and it would help it. It would help it to pass through the storm without being broken up. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that you might obtain mercy and find grace to wrap round you and to bind you up and to strengthen you in your time of need. You know, some of you are going through storms. I'm sure of it. I don't know you, but there's always some. And the waves are beating in, and you don't know how much longer you can keep on going. And it's just all becoming too difficult. And he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. And he doesn't want to tie ropes round you to bind you up. The Bible speaks about the everlasting arms. The everlasting arms of God. And they would wrap themselves round you. And like ropes that would bind together a ship, the everlasting arms can bind you together and support you and strengthen you and help you as you pass through your time of need. That expression, time of need, it just means in the nick of time. It means at exactly the right time, just when you need him, he's there to give you help. And our great high priest, this is not one that just enters into God's presence once a year. This isn't a type of priest that you go to that's a man that has got no authority given by God that you would confess your sins to him, and has no authority given by God to forgive you your sins. We have a great high priest, and it's God's son. And he's a man, and he understands everything that you have ever been through. All of your hurt, all of your pain, all of your regrets, he knows them all. And yet he loves you with a deep and perfect love. And right now he's in God's presence representing you to God. And he's got perfect access to God because he's God's son. He's got perfect access to God because as a man he never sinned. And he's inviting you, even commanding you, to come continually to him. So that you might come to that throne of authority and sovereignty and obtain mercy and to find grace to help, to bind you together in time of need. One writer said this, I'm never tired of pointing out that the Greek phrase translated in the time of need is a colloquialism of which in the nick of time is the exact equivalent. We might receive mercy and find grace to help in the nick of time, grace just when we need it. You're attacked by temptation. At the moment of assault, you look to him, and the grace is there to help in the nick of time. There's no postponement of your petition until the evening hour of prayer. But there in the city street with the flaming temptation in front of you, turn to Christ with a cry for help, and the grace will be there in the nick of time. When you're standing in the street, when you're sitting in the office, when you're lying in your bed, your great high priest is there representing you, and you've got access to God's throne at all times if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get that access in your own strength. There was men that tried it. I could take you back into the Bible and I could show you the sons of the priests, you know, a religious family, but they didn't just have access to go into God's presence any way they wanted. Nadab and Abihu, and you know, their lives were taken from them because they treated lightly God's presence. And I could take you to a king called Uzziah, and he was a good king. And he did so much that was good for the country, and the country prospered under his leadership. And he was well used by God. But, you know, when the priest didn't come to enter into God's presence, he just said, well, I'm the king, and there's nobody else here. I'm important, and I'm good. I'll enter into God's presence, and I'll perform these priestly duties. And there and then, leprosy broke out upon his forehead. And not long later, he died. In our country, peoples, maybe even someone in this hall today, there are people throughout the world trying to get into God's presence the wrong way. Trying to get into God's presence by being good. Trying to get into God's presence by church attendance. Trying to get into God's presence by religion. None of these ways will work. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said, I am the way, singular. He is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father unless they come through me. If you want to come to this throne, if you want to come and be accepted and forgiven of your sins and to come into relationship with God and have access to this great high priest, to have access to this throne of grace that can help you and dispense mercy and grace and help in your time of need, then you have to come first to Jesus Christ. Confessing that you're a sinner, believing that he died for you, and through that your sins can be forgiven and you can be brought into relationship with God. It is the only way of salvation, the only way of forgiveness of sin. And if you've not done that, we would invite you to do it today. Not to get up out of this hall and to walk away unchanged, but if God has spoken to you, to make sure, determined, that you'll get it put right today. If there's something that you've not understood, come and speak to me, and I'll spend the day here sitting with you with an open Bible and explaining these things to you. Or speak to the person that you know here that understands these things, but do not leave here with unanswered questions, because your soul's at stake. Your soul's at stake. And we would plead with you and encourage you to think very, very carefully about these things. We point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. And he says, come unto me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. And all you have to do is come. To come, you have to leave where you are. You have to leave behind your sin. You have to leave behind those things that your conscience tells you are wrong. And you have to come to him. And if you've already done that at the beginning of this new week of service, and in the midst of all the difficulties and worries that you have, he says, we've got a great high priest. He's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. He can sympathise with you in each and every way because he himself was a man, yet without sin. And because of all of that, you have to come continually to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We trust that God will bless the reading of his word.